You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
And we offer a hearty good morning to our listeners today. Welcome to the front line. We have a great host, a guest today. We have a great host, too, of course. We have a great guest today.
Tooting your own horn, aren't you, David?
Yeah, really.
You're spending too much time with those.
Nobody else will do it. We do have fun here, as you often, if you listen on a regular basis, you know we have fun here, especially during prayer and share when, you know, the staff is here.
Yeah.
11 hours a day doing live, you know, we get punchy real quick. So I know people start listening this second or third day of prayer and share. What are they going to step on next? You know, what are they going to say? So but we do have fun here, and it's I think it's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Working through us and giving us a great opportunity. We're taking advantage of that today in this hour. I want to say, and I want to introduce my co-host first, and I'm going to do a preamble to introduce our guest for today. But first, I must go to my beloved brother, Ed Skiba.
Oh, wow. You didn't call me the venerable.
I know. I was waiting for it.
I like to change it up every
now
and then.
Another beautiful South Florida morning. I got a part-time job working for a textile company. Yeah, they wanted me to do an experiment to see if you put socks on your hands and you keep them in your pocket all day, if they come out smelling like your feet.
Wow. You know, that, congratulations, Ed. Now, I can see that was typecasting, if you will. Perfect for that.
A merry heart doeth good like a medicine.
Amen. I wonder how many people just smelled their hands.
True. The what?
I wonder how many people just smelled their hands.
I'll bet you a lot. Now, if you're driving,
put socks on them.
Yeah, really. If you're driving, don't do it right now. Well, no wrecks, please. And then sitting across from my brother Ed is my sister Ann Lomhoka. Good morning.
Good morning. The joy of the Lord is our strength, because we have lots of joy today.
Amen. Amen. We do. We
And we were studying in the Bible study yesterday. I go to Revive Church. There's a morning Bible study about John 1, and you know he is life. Mm. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, which is John 1:4. But life means vitality.
Yes.
In the Greek.
Yes.
In Strong's Concordance. So we have a lot of vitality in this studio.
We do.
We do. We get on the air and we're already laughing. There's a lot of vitality.
Right.
And we should, as Christians, have that joy and vitality.
We should.
People should be attracted to that.
Yep.
So
we should.
Yeah.
Now, I've known dour Christians, you know.
Yeah.
What is that? One of the Christian comedians talked about, looks like they were sucking a lemon.
Yeah.
You know, and they do. Folks, listen, you got to lighten up.
Yeah.
Okay. When Jesus said, do not be anxious, you read that?
Yes.
In the Gospels recently, he really meant it.
Yes.
But I noticed a lot of Christians, and I was one too, I'll just admit to this, early on in my walk, I hadn't shed the anxiety that it comes with being a human being. And that comes because you think you're in charge. And you're anxious because things aren't working the way you want.
Mm.
And then Jesus said, do not be anxious. And you could read between the lines and say, that's when you're not anxious, because he's running the show.
Yeah. Amen.
When you let the Holy Spirit, which was given to you in baptism, right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Then when you received Christ Jesus and got born again, Holy Spirit moved in big time.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit would bring you that peace. So you wouldn't say, well, I'm not really in charge anyway. Why should I sweat this, right?
Yes.
Anyway, you get all kinds of stuff with us. You get teaching. That's a mini teaching.
Yes.
Write it down.
I didn't mean to give a teaching.
No, you did a great job.
That joy and the vitality and the life just came to mind.
Oh, you're right.
I just learned that yesterday.
Thank you. So. Oh, well, good. Thanks for sharing it while it's still fresh, you know.
Yes.
But I'm excited. I want to say, I told our guest I had a preamble before I introduced him, and I like preambles. They really come in handy. I learned it from the Declaration of Independence. That's a great preamble there.
You mean the Constitution, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union? Is that what you mean?
That's what
a preamble?
Yeah. That's a great preamble.
I thought it meant we were ambling before and we're ambling again.
Right.
And we're post-ambling later.
Well, I'm going to amble over to what I was going to say. No, just to remind people that the vision of this program is we bring people in who are doing ministry. And we invite them to share from their personal journey and what their ministry is all about. And we've had, you know, been blessed to have a wide range of ministry opportunities being presented here. And on occasion, because a lot of these people are connected to a church or a parachurch ministry, and maybe they're international, and, you know, so we get a lot of feedback. But I love it, too, when we can bring in someone like our guest today. He's an individual believer who is walking a faith journey, empowered by the Holy Spirit, having gotten saved because Jesus got into his life, and he invited him to come in and all that goes with it, and he's a strong believer. And when I first met this gentleman, it was that which God spoke to me and said, hey, here's a guy, you can come on, bring him on the front line, he'll tell you like it is. And his witness is out of that individual man of God, person of God, and his testimony applies to anybody who is walking with the Lord or wants to walk with the Lord. And so with that, Sean Gokenauer, good morning.
Good morning, David. Thank you. And Ed, it's great to see you two
again.
Yeah,
good to have you back on, Sean.
You know, there's a lot that I'd like to unpack. And David, we've talked about ministry before and life. And I'm going to start, I believe, in 2019 when God conceived a ministry idea for me. I'm just going to relate it to or call it embracing salvation. Today is the day I believe we give birth to that ministry.
Mm. Wow.
All right.
And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to get to the end and then go back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping you'd do that because I have some questions.
Okay. this idea, and God has only given me one number, and that is $2.8 million.
Mm.
Where it comes from is up to him. I'm the steward. He's the giver. He's
right.
Okay. Now, I'm going to go back to that now and talk about embracing salvation and the birth pangs, the storms, the what we've had to walk through. That vision is, if you'll recall, the very first time I sat here with you guys was, my question is, if we are so much for the lost, why does the church have better hours than bankers? The doors are only open a few hours a week. None of us can walk through downtown and pick out who the Christians are and who we can grab a hold of and say, hey, I've got this going on in my life. Mm-hmm. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
I went to a church. When I first walked back into the church as a grown-up, I was drunk. The guy that drove me there was drunk and only wearing a pair of shorts.
Oh, my.
Didn't even have socks on his feet. And they welcomed us in.
Mm. Praise God.
And they told us how much they loved us. They told us how much Jesus loved us. They told us about love. They told us about Christ. I ended up attending that church for about 6 years before that pastor retired. And it is because of that that I'm here. Now, he was available. He was in that church almost every single day. Where's that at today? I've been through many churches where if you ain't there at 10:30 till 12:30, you ain't getting in. You show up at 10:20, that door's still locked. When is the availability to the world? And that is what this ministry is. There's a building in Vero Beach that I've been looking at for a long time that I would like to purchase. My income is not going to allow that. We are supposed to depend on God for that.
Amen.
And that's what I'm here for. Now, to talk to you about some of the storms and the birth pangs that we've been through, and I was sharing with Ann just before, a few years ago, I sold my business. Had a great business. You've heard me talk about the blessing of it. And I was following everything that God did. And this is another reason why I think it's important that, that there be the church doors be open and there be somebody in there with the ability to use the sword of the Spirit, not just for the lost, but for your fellow Christians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, we're not supposed to make all these decisions on our own. Proverbs 15, reading that this morning. Mm-hmm. You need counselors. You need wise people around you to bounce ideas and talk to, mm-hmm. and be able to explain things to you or help you walk through. Because we don't live by sight. We live by faith.
Mm-hmm.
I can't always see. I can always believe that God is going to do something.
Yes.
I cannot always see that path on mm-hmm. my own. Two can put 10,000 to flight.
Yeah.
And not that we always need to look. I was sharing with David before, and he knew some of it. When we're rebuking that storm,
mm-hmm.
we're rebuking the work of God. Now, please understand, I'm not going to say that Satan isn't attacking at the church and this and that.
Oh, you mean like a trial?
Yes.
Storm
but
means
those,
trial.
Those trials, those storms, they're there to prove mm-hmm. your faith.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there.
I just preached out of that yesterday from Romans 5.
Okay, mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah,
you know,
that's good.
And there's a lot of storms that are mentioned throughout Scripture, but mm-hmm. if you look at the first storm that the disciples went through with Jesus, he was asleep in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back to Jonah and the storm that hit that boat. So mm-hmm. what I'd like to point out here, here is the prophet of God in disobedience
yeah.
to
mm-hmm.
God, and Jesus Christ in complete obedience to God. They both got hit by a storm, yet mm-hmm. they both slept.
Mm-hmm.
Those who did not have their faith in God on those two boats were freaking out.
Amen.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, back 3 months ago, I got hit with a storm. Or I didn't get hit with it, but it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
It was coming. You mm-hmm. know, you could see it off in the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really look at it for what it was. So when the storm hit, it caught me off guard. But the thing is I was already at the next place in the storm. And just to lay out the three storms real quick, you've got that first storm where Jesus is sleeping in the boat. You've got the second storm where the apostles are trying to get across to the other side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus comes out in the storm, gets in the boat, and immediately they're where they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the representation of the house built on the rock and the house built on the sand.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The storm did not stop beating. It did not. But when the storm was over, the house was still standing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm at. The house is still standing. There's a lot of debris to pick up. There's mm-hmm. there's things that have to be put back together, but the house stood.
Amen.
And with that, I think if you guys have anything you'd
yeah.
like to say
you
or
know,
comment.
Another good example of that is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't try to see how to get out of the fire. They tried to see what to get out of the fire.
Yeah,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the same thing with the storm. Don't try to get out of it. Try to see what you can get from it.
Yes, because you've got to be strengthened. You know, your bodybuilders,
mm-hmm.
they don't go in there and stop lifting when it hurts.
Right.
That's when they lift harder.
That's right.
That's when they push mm-hmm. harder, when mm-hmm. it starts to burn, when it starts to hurt. Because that's how they build yeah, that
amen.
Muscle.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I mentioned to Dave earlier something with this storm that I really didn't even, the Holy Spirit told me tonight or this morning mm-hmm. on my way in here is you don't pour new wine into old wineskins.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And there was some old wineskins that had to be discarded.
Mm-hmm.
would not have seen those old wineskins had it not been for the storm, caused you to have to go out and pick up some debris and put some new siding on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is one of the reasons I love your testimony and why we have you on the air with us. And in light of the vision of this program is for listeners, some listeners may have come from or be in a church situation where maybe the current teachings or preachings are Christianity light. And by that I mean, we're really not going to talk about the tough parts of the journey.
Right.
Right. We're going to say it's all sweetness and light and not offend anybody. For whatever reason, the leadership believes they shouldn't do that. But here's the thing is this is truth. And we need, especially baby Christians, people just come to Christ. And, we can modify the message a little bit so we don't scare them off. We don't want to do that. But the truth is that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, from that point forward, you're really going to get to know something about spiritual warfare.
Yes.
Because it is happening. It's happening all around you. Up till that point, you may have been oblivious to it.
Yes.
And now, don't get scared off, because now you've got a relationship with Jesus. You got the Holy Spirit. You've got the power that you didn't have before to face those storms and that spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. But now here's a guy, he's talking about his journey, and he's talking about facing this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And who's going to give him the victory? It's going to be Jesus.
Amen.
And what he's going to do is stand, right? You're talking about just stand there, trusting the Lord.
And that's, I got a good friend of mine that he's walked through this with me hand in hand. He's given me the right word at the right time. Mm-hmm. And that's what embracing salvation is about, knowing that not only do I have the ability because of the Holy Spirit to go through this storm, but to also know that when I get to that other side, there's going to be somebody else that has to come through this storm, and they need somebody else that's going to say, come on, this is how you do it. This is how you go.
Yeah. Right.
And, I've been telling him for a long time. He says, I read the Bible. I read the Bible. He said, but I don't remember none of it. And I said, the Holy Spirit reminds you of it when you need
it. When you need it.
Amen. And he has needed it for a couple of months now. And he we'll be talking, and all of a sudden he'll start hitting me with scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, see, the Holy Spirit reminds you of it. And there was one particular, it was about 3 or 4 days in this storm. I really felt like I was getting hit by every area of this storm. Mm-hmm. There wasn't. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the peace of God fell over me, and the Holy Spirit said, when you've done all you can to stand, you stand.
Amen.
And I stood up out of my chair where I was at. I stood up, and I smiled. Someone else came along and said, hey, have a seat. And I said, I will not sit down. I will stand until I'm done standing. And it's just, you live by faith. I trusted God through this whole thing.
Yeah.
And not that I have handled this storm correctly, but I handled it well enough to get to the end. And God showed me through this storm. He proved me through this storm. He showed me and proved me. I know where my faith is weak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know where I looked instead of believed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know how to recognize that again. So when it looks, when I'm going to be looking at something instead of believing something, the Apostle Paul talks about, I believe it was in Timothy, correct me if I'm wrong, put off the lust of the flesh, put off the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. Do not get an emotion.
Mm-hmm.
We're not supposed to live by our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
They're wonderful, but they're also destructive. Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to live by sight. We live by faith.
Yes.
If we live by what we see, why bother going forward?
And our dreams are not big enough, or we're not believing in our dreams big enough if our dreams are attainable without God.
Absolutely.
Yes. But we need to have dreams. He needs to give us callings that are so out there that the only way they could be accomplished is through God, and that requires the currency of Christianity, which is faith.
Yes.
So,
and that was, that was this morning. 2019 was the first time that I heard WCNO, and it just happened to be when God called me. I had known God, but I did not know God. Okay.
Yes.
You had an intellectual knowledge of God.
I knew about God. I could talk scripture with anybody, but I did not have my relationship with God.
Amen.
And he called me to a 40-day fast.
Wow.
And there was a pastor that was willing to let me use his church for 40 days to go in and pray.
Wow.
And at the end of that 40 days, I was just turning the radio dial on my radio off the Christian station I already listened to, and I found WCNO, and it was exactly what I needed at that time, and it has continued to carry me forward.
So the Lord led you to WCNO.
Yes.
Right after the end of that 40-day fast.
Yes.
And he opens up the...
Yes.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yes.
Great story. I didn't think I've ever heard that part of your testimony.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that was, and you know, here we are 6 years later. Because it was 2020, I believe, the first time I was on the station. On the front line. Right after you had started doing the front line, I believe.
Yeah, I forget when we started. It was we've been at it now for about 4 years. So
okay, so it was 2021,
yeah, somewhere in there. But but who's counting? Okay, sure. And so we're going to give Sean a little break here, and we have a few minutes before the break. So while he's stepped out for a moment, just I think it's important, and why we have people. We've had other people like Sean.
Yeah,
they're, I don't want to call them standalone ministries, but only because, again, no matter who comes in, if they're a director of a ministry that has 1,000 sites all over the world, and they have 8 million people working for them, and they have a great story, and what they're doing for God is great. I think sometimes, though, that it's easier for a listener, as it is, I'll speak for myself, to translate what God is doing in an individual's life, when we know that, they're basically that they're one person serving God, following Him, listening to the Holy Spirit. Yes, they have a church, and Sean is is involved in has a community you can go to, place to worship, pastors, and all that. But when he goes out of the church to serve the Lord, it is him.
Amen.
He doesn't have a team with him out there. And I think those testimonies, I don't know if they're greater, but they're more accessible, speaks to me more quickly. I'm hearing myself in that. And that's what I'm delighted,
The other thing that's encouraging to the lay Christian out there is that there are other lay Christians that are doing very strong ministry. You don't have to be ordained. You don't have
or
to
have a title ministry.
Yeah.
Or have
all
a title
ministry.
Yeah.
Now, I've always had the theory that man ordains.
Yes,
God
anoints.
Yes, God anoints. That's true.
Because we're all we all should be living like Sean, and we each should be out there ministering.
Yep.
Is it within a label? It doesn't have to be.
No, it doesn't have to be.
Under a ministry or something.
The fact that we're even talking about this point indicates something I've struggled with for over 40 years as a pastor, and that is how some pastors, let's say, or some denominations, maybe it's denomination-wide, but what they're preaching about ministry is, well, us ordained folk are really on the top of the heap, and, God's giving us all this power, and we're sharing some of it with you. And
really?
There's a very hierarchical model in many places in Christianity. And while I admit, every denomination has a hierarchy. You have to have people in charge, various levels. But what that's been translated into is that real ministry is done after you get ordained.
Amen.
Now, so, and I've always said to people, and you heard me say this on the air, now, every Christian's first ordination is in baptism.
Yes. Amen.
And if we look at when Jesus got baptized, what happened?
And he got sent out to the desert.
After his baptism, boom, he goes to the desert. Why? Because he needs to begin his life in ministry and listening to the Father and getting direction for his ministry. You know, he kind of knew. But we don't see any ministry from Jesus till after his ordination.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is very important that if you and the listener, I'm going to come right to the point. If you have, if you've been taught to believe that the only good and godly ministry occurs through the people who've been ordained, spent time in seminary or whatever, all the education, and then they come back and they run, they rule in your church. Hey, listen, no. The Bible doesn't say that. Jesus doesn't say that in the Gospels. It's when you are baptized, begins a process, that's your first ordination.
Amen.
And in that baptism, maybe you didn't follow it. Maybe you didn't get born again after that. But you head in that direction. Spirit of God is opening that opportunity for you. You're hearing, maybe not making sense out of it, but you're hearing God call you to fully receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that's really where your saving saved life begins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's also where your ministry takes off because everybody has been given gifts.
Absolutely.
By the Holy Spirit for ministry.
Yes.
Well, one of the points of confusion I've seen is you and I, David, have talked about this before. People go into ordained ministry thinking it gives them authority. Mm. It doesn't. Mm-mm. It gives them responsibility.
Yeah.
Amen.
To keep their people on the right track.
Yeah.
Yes.
If they have the education, they've got the background and the calling from God,
the key.
Then they have a responsibility. It's got nothing to do with authority.
Absolutely. And that is also, that's a misunderstanding.
Absolutely.
Often perpetuated by judicatories and the denomination.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Yes.
Anyway.
And we're not supposed to have, I don't think it was within the Lord's plan to be us split up in all these different denominations.
No. Oh, believe me.
Do you know what I mean?
I looked through
the
Bible.
That's a whole program.
That is all man.
Well, you've heard me before. I've said,
I know we're going into
God gave us the Bible to tell us who he is.
Yeah.
And we invented religion to tell him who,
exactly.
who he is.
Yeah.
But,
exactly.
You know, it's and something, you know, bringing up the Bible, I've said it for so many years now. This Bible tells you exactly who you are.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It tells you exactly who God is.
Amen.
Yes.
And it tells you exactly the outcome of who you are.
Yes. Yep.
And if you don't like that outcome, it tells you how to change who you are so you can get the outcome you want.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And you're right. There's too much tradition of man that is making it of none effect.
God gave me something in my sermon yesterday that it came out of nowhere, it's the Holy Spirit. He said, Jesus became like us so we could become like him.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And I thought, wow.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man.
It
awesome.
Is.
Totally true.
Yes.
I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. And then we'll become back for the other half of the hour.
All right.
But I want to say, if listener, maybe Sean has said something that you want him to expand on, or you just have a comment you'd like to make, and you're welcome to do that. You can, during the break, you might be able to figure out how to call us. Or I can just tell you, the number is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And yeah, give us a call, and we'll see where that goes. But here's our break. Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day. And we are back. How quick that was. It's not a two-minute break, but it gives you time to catch your breath. Maybe think about it. If you're going to call, what you're going to ask, John. Again, that number is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. I think I must speak this number in my sleep. Yes. Because, you know, we yes. say it during prayer and share. We must say it 8,000 times in a day.
Yes.
You know, anyway.
Told you a million times not to exaggerate.
Well, let me give out my phone number just in case you can't call in during this time and you'd like to talk with me. And that is 772-579-3148. And they do have that here at the station if you didn't have chance to write that down.
That's right.
And, Ed, you just brought up a great point about churches not necessarily having the ability to be open. And that is the reason for what I was talking about, wanting to purchase this building. And $2.8 million, when I said that, it sounds like a whole lot of money, but I don't plan on having to run that off of volunteers. I don't plan on being the only one there for 18 hours, you know. Mm. But I also don't expect everybody to have to volunteer their time.
Yeah.
Now, I would be scheduled to be there as a servant to whoever comes in.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also be up there at times on my own seeking God and praying over this.
Yeah.
But I think that the church has gotten too used to we have to volunteer to do everything and we shouldn't get paid for it, when here again, that is directly against Scripture.
Oh, yeah.
You don't muzzle the ox's mouth while he's treading the grain.
That's right.
The grain.
Yeah. That's right. And the workman is worthy of his hire.
Yes. And mm-hmm. and we need places, you know.
Yeah.
Jesus said, ask the Father to send out the harvesters.
Right.
We need a place for them to bring that harvest to. And they're not going to do it. Go drop by a farm when they're harvesting.
Yeah.
It's not an hour job.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a long
that
day.
That is a long day, and they've got to be able to bring that mm-hmm. full cart in, drop it off, and go get another one.
Yep.
Yep.
There's got to be people to man the carts.
That's right.
Know? And they shouldn't have to feel like they're taking time away from their family, their children, their friends, to go help people they don't even know and they ain't getting paid for.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? That's the purpose for a Christian. We're servants and witnesses.
We're serving Christ.
We're supposed to give up. We're supposed to sacrifice.
Absolutely.
Look what Jesus did.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And Scripture even says any man that leaves wife, mm-hmm. house, children,
there you go.
For my sake, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But their mouth should not be tread.
That's right. I agree with that.
I think there's a need for volunteers, but I think what you're talking about is an over relying on the volunteers.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I agree with that. That's right.
You shouldn't over rely on volunteers.
You know, many churches, as you and I were talking about during the break, many churches just don't have the resources
to
man
keep
the
their
place
doors
for,
open.
To keep the doors open. But many of them do. You know, it's not fair to the pastors out there listening to say, nobody's ever home when I need you, because they always have somebody at least answering the phone that can connect them with a pastor.
Yeah.
If someone comes in and says, I need help, wait a minute, I'll get them on the line for you.
Yes.
You know, and they're out there. We do that. Our mm-hmm. folks do that.
Yeah.
Yes. There are some. But here again, just having the availability to the doors open.
Can't everybody
always
absolutely.
Make the phone call? And, you know, there's been times in my life, even before I became a Christian, that, man, had the church door been open in that need. And, you know, that need ain't always helped me with my electric bill or I need groceries, my kids are going to starve. That need is spiritual. That's what that's what the church is there for, is to give that spiritual need. And I'm sure every one of you have noticed that the more time you spend in the Word of God, you can say like Jesus said when he was talking to the Samaritan woman, I have food that you know not of.
Yes.
When I'm spending time in my Word, I don't need nearly as much of this natural food as normal.
You know, you reminded me of something. I was in Charlotte, North Carolina many years ago, around the time that bad hurricane went through there. I can't remember which one it was. Started with an H. Anyway.
Helen.
No.
Oh, okay.
anyway, there was a really nice, big, fancy church downtown, and I was there as a consultant working with a company. I'm an engineer by marine mechanical by trade, marine. And I was working with this company, and the owner of the company and his wife were driving me somewhere. We went by this church, and there were homeless people laying all over the steps, the, you know, big cement or marble steps going up to the door, granite steps, really beautiful. And the wife looked up and said, "That's just disgusting. They ought to do something about that." I said, "You're right. They ought to open the doors and let those people inside." Boy, she didn't know what to say.
That's good, Ed. Because a lot of us can have our own churches, but does the community know about the church?
And,
the neighbor next door?
Right.
I mean, we can be so insular and just do things within the building, but then next door, you haven't talked to shared the gospel next door at whatever, the hair salon or whatever, you know? That's very, very convicting.
I'm sorry, go ahead. But I want to swing back to this vision you have.
What is the vision that with the building,
ministry.
The building that you're envisioning? What's going to be done there and what's going to happen there?
There's a good friend of mine who would be the one that he would be. I'm just going to call him the overseer of it because it wouldn't be me so directly involved in it. But it's going to be an opportunity. It's going to be open to the community. It's going to be open to Christians. It will reach out to other churches, other ministries, where people are going to be able to come. They're going to get fed the Word of God. Not every conversation is going to start with God. But there will be people in place that as these people come in and they just start pour out their heart, their hurts, their hates, their wants, their desires, there's going to be people that will be skilled in the sword of the Spirit. And I'll put it this way. When you come talk to me, and this is one of the things that came up during this storm, it always comes back to the Bible. I don't care where our conversation starts, but before it's over, with the exception of you stepping up, cussing me out, turning around and walking away, it's going to come around to Christ before our conversation is over. And it will be done so skillfully. I cannot, and I said this on Prayer and Share, you know, I have a tendency of making people mad. Been told that my entire life.
You haven't
life.
Done that here yet, Sean. I just want you to know.
Well, so far we know. We can't see what the listeners are doing.
Well, that's true. Maybe they'll call in and tell us. 772-221-1100 is the number.
Why do you make why do you make them mad? Because they don't like what you're hearing?
Because they don't like what's being said. And it's in Scripture. You know what? People are going to get offended. I was offending people before I was in the Bible. So I'm really not upset about you being offended now when I'm speaking Scripture. You know, but what I also do know, and this is the love of Christ. I know you're leaving here offended or mad, but I also know you're leaving with the truth.
Amen.
And when you get over being angry at me, because that is a you problem, not a me problem. What I said to you is going to settle. And you're going to have some seed in you.
We if we don't love that person, if we don't love that person, then we'll just listen with our tingling ears and just buy what they're saying. Mm-hmm. But we have to tell them the truth.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
That's the love of God in us. Amen. For them to know the truth.
Yes.
So if they're offended, then that's something that, you know, that they got to work within them, but they know the truth.
Yep.
That's the only the truth sets them free. Nothing else.
That's right.
It's
that's
only
right.
the truth that sets them free.
That's right. Not what we
and
want
you don't
the
point.
Truth to be.
Yes.
Exactly.
What and, the truth says in our yep. word. I'm well, pointing to our Bibles yes. right here. So.
I would plant Apollos waters and God
yes.
brings the harvest.
Yes.
And I would just say, Sean, you said earlier about you making people mad. And of course, you yep. don't have the power to do that. Neither do I. Because if I had the power to make people mad, I'd rather use it to make people happy.
Yes.
Absolutely. But I can't do that either.
Yes.
All I can do is bring the truth now. And you say, they're going to choose. And by the way, people choose to be offended.
Yes.
Yeah.
They do.
You can gather 100 people in a room and say something controversial, and not everybody's going to be offended.
Right.
But it's those that choose to be offended because they didn't like what they heard.
Yeah. Yeah.
90% of that anger is conviction.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
the Holy Spirit inside
exactly.
of them. And they have to know. They may not know it's the Holy Spirit.
And that's why I've always said, you getting mad at me is a you problem. It's not a me
yeah,
problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right, exactly.
I've got zero issue with what I said.
Yep.
Yeah.
But our job is to continue to pray for them.
Right.
And to love on
right.
them.
So. And it is to be able to deliver that word in love, but yes. that doesn't mean that I cower down now
yeah.
or back up what I said. Yeah. It means that, okay, you're not going to receive it this way. Well, just like the enemy attacks us from different directions,
right.
I can come at it from a different way, but it's still going to be the word of God coming
yeah.
through.
If we don't water the word of God, we don't water it down.
What I have found is the way to present it to people is not, you know what you're doing wrong? The way you present it to people is, you know what the scripture says?
Mm-hmm.
And let them deal with
yes.
whether it resonates or not.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's something that gets talked about a lot on my porch with some mm-hmm. of my neighbors. Well, mm-hmm. you don't have the right to judge. I said, well, actually, I do. And you're proving that because you're judging me right now by assuming I'm judging you.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. It's not really it's not you judging yeah. them, but it's. It's, again, that conviction that comes
yeah.
when
conviction.
The word is given and to someone, and they that doesn't match what they wanted to hear.
Right,
yeah.
right.
By the way, let me shift a little bit, not too much one way or the other, but as you've been sharing, talking about this vision that you have, and it's a great vision, by the way, but I thought for myself, I needed to sort of refine the context a little bit. And because what I'm hearing you talk about is a ministry that, if we were to characterize it, you know, but with descriptives, that it would be both a pastoral and an evangelical ministry, in that to have a venue where people can come, not just Christians, but maybe people hungry for the word,
yes.
as they're led by the Spirit, into this ministry, where there will be people who will be able, by virtue of training and gifting, to listen to their needs, respond in whatever way they need to respond, and that's the pastoral side, the caring side,
yes,
the compassion of Christ,
yes,
and there's also, again, the evangelical side, because one work of the church is to bring the word to the people, to go out from the buildings, if you will, but also now, and so if I'm correct thus far, that may not completely define the vision as you have it.
The closest that I can use, I think, would be the threshing floor.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people don't like this scripture, and very seldom have I heard it read from the pulpit. God whips every son he receives,
yeah.
mm.
and he corrects every son he loves.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And, you know, here again, that comes back to the storm.
Right.
I looked at it as correction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't rebuke it. I wasn't standing up in the boat all religious. You get away from me, Satan. No, mm-hmm. you know what? Satan follow me all he wants. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
He's under my feet. He's got no authority,
Amen.
No power over me.
Amen.
And
Amen.
He certainly cannot touch my life.
Amen.
And for those who would say, well, look, you know, God let him go after Job. Yeah. God was proving he was righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
God called Job righteous.
Amen.
Go prove it.
Mm-hmm. And if yes. the devil's after me, he's leaving somebody else alone because yeah. he's not omnipresent.
Yeah, he's not omnipresent.
Yeah, yeah. Right, exactly.
You know,
and it's good when the devil's after you. It means that you're doing something
you're
right.
You're doing something
exactly.
Right.
You know, and I think one of the first verses in Scripture since 2000, starting in 2019, that became, I think the term is I made it mine.
Yeah.
Is Genesis 15:1, where God told Abraham, I am your shield.
Yes.
I am your buckler.
That's yes. right.
Amen. Yes, yes.
Even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the king's table.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So whatever gets to me must be crumbs that God wanted me to have.
There you go.
Yes, and they're great crumbs,
see what
too.
You can do with this.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I live by faith, not by sight.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, we quote all these scriptures, Jeremiah 29:11, Romans 8:28. When are they a reality in your life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's something that I've learned over this past year a lot to say to God. When I'm reading a scripture and it pops at me, you know, you guys know the one. You stop and you go back and you read it again.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned to look up at God and go, God, that's not a reality in my life,
mm-hmm.
but it's a promise.
That's right.
When does it become reality?
Mm-hmm.
And then I start
mm-hmm.
looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in this storm, I've been able to say, mm-hmm. all things work together for my good.
Amen.
When I say that, that means I don't care about my outcome that I want.
Right.
Who can instruct God? Not me.
Not me. Yeah,
absolutely.
If God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect, why would I try and tell him how I want
exactly.
the outcome
yep.
to be?
Yeah.
And when I can get to that point with my walk with
that's
him,
that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about the storm no more because sink, swim, find a paradise island.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
It's God's will, and it's good, acceptable,
right.
and perfect in my life.
Amen.
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 I don't have to like it.
There you go.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, the other side yeah. of that, I keep telling my folks at church, is what you do speaks so loud, they can't hear what you say.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the Apostle Paul talked about husbands and wives and one being mm-hmm. saved and one not.
Mm-hmm.
If, mm-hmm. if you read that, even without the word, they're sanctified.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
without the word.
Even without the
what
word
does that mean?
Sanctified.
That means my actions.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
How do I react to my
amen,
wife? How does she
amen,
react
amen.
To me? Mm-hmm. That is.
Yep.
So exactly. I kind of want to get back to this building idea. Mm. I know that David's pressed upon this, the producer. Mm. So it would be a building open, what, you said something like 18 hours a day? Because you said not six
18,
hours.
18 hours a
and
day
then,
was.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just, sorry. I'm not sure what I'm failing to.
Is it? Oh, so they're open to come in and just get ministry?
Yes, it would be open for ministry. Open to come in if you
yes.
wanted a place to go and pray.
Got it.
You know, as I've mentioned, there's times that I'm at home praying, and I would really like to be just yeah. face down on a pew
okay.
before mm-hmm. God. There's times that, you know, I've got worship music playing in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But I would really rather just be sitting in a pew listening to the worship music being played.
Or with a collective and, body or something. If there's a bunch of people there, and, they could join in.
Right. And that's together. The other idea of the building is
okay.
there is yeah. The fellowship of right. the brethren.
Two yes. or three gathered together.
Yes.
You
yes.
know,
yeah.
a constant ability to know, okay, if I go here, there's going to be three or four other people yeah. there who are seeking after God.
It sounds like a prayer room, could, like an IHOP or something, International House of Prayer.
There will be a kitchen, but I'm not making breakfast.
Yeah, no. Oh, no.
Well,
but,
International House of Prayer.
It's
I mean, there's,
like
there,
that.
There are right, ministries right. that are open just for prayer. People, not a
and
lot of them.
And it sounds like it's prayer or.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm thinking about, Sean, in terms of the vision God's given you, and we admit there's a lot of churches almost everywhere where there's a lot of people, there's a lot
right.
of churches, especially in Florida. But I will say that not all of them are open and accessible for people to walk in off the street and pray.
Yes.
And today, especially there are reasons for that.
Theft.
Theft.
Yeah. Primary, vandalism.
Yes. And I remember back, this was when I was doing campus ministry in Gainesville. We had a church. And Gainesville was a very attractive place for people, street people, basically migratory, coming out of the winter down into Florida. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of them in Gainesville because of also the student community there. And we had some theft issues. I had to end up locking the church because of that. And that was sad, but, you know, that's what we felt like we had to do. Not that every church today has that, but the point is, a lot of churches, you can't just walk in off the street.
Well, it wouldn't be unattended, and that's kind of the point. The church would not be unattended.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there are going to be some, and whether they're Christian or not Christian, they're going to need a word of God. They're going to need someone that can press in with them, someone that can stand with them.
Yeah.
And on the theft thing, you know, thanks for bringing that up, because one of the biggest things left out of this whole conversation has been forgiveness.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
And until we understand and have received forgiveness ourselves,
absolutely,
it's real hard to give.
And yeah, it is.
To the church years ago, and it's one that breaks my heart, but it's one that I hope isn't repeated. There was a young pastor and a young fella from youth group broke into our church and took a laptop. Now, it was a well-used laptop. It was barely functioning the way it needed to for what they used it for.
Mm-hmm.
But he stole it. This boy's mom, he's 16 years old. He had only been in the youth group for a couple of months, first time in church. And this boy's mom came up and begged the pastor not to call the cops. Said, "I'll bring him up here every Saturday for as long as you think necessary. Let him do some work. Make him do some work." And the pastor refused to forgive and teach. And we forget that the word of God is first teaching, instruction, correction,
reproof,
then punishment.
Yes.
Then punishment.
Right.
But when the punishment ends, we go back to teaching, instructing, correction.
Yep.
If it gets to punishment again, you know you're dealing with a fool.
Then they'll have to suffer the consequences.
You become a bit harsher bit harsher in your teaching because.
Yeah, there's that issue of forgiveness is a critical one. And you know, not just on that score, you know, that one example, but I don't know. I haven't every church in the area. So I don't know what's being preached in the pulpit in terms of forgiveness. But I do know it's one of the hardest concepts to teach, you know, that. How do we? Because forgiving is the hardest thing we do as human beings. Because
it can't be
we have to.
Holy Spirit.
We see it. Some people see it as letting go of power that they want to have, or whatever it is. It doesn't. It's not. People don't conceive of forgiveness as being a positive thing. Now, here's the thing: is that God? It's important. God, the teaching in the Bible about forgiveness is extensive, and Jesus Himself talks about it a lot. So we know it's important.
Yes.
Now, I also believe that my ability to forgive is directly generated by the gift of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit.
Yes.
To understand what I am doing. You know, God says, judge not, lest you yourself be judged. Scripture uses that.
Yes.
Judge not. And judging is part of forgiving. If I fail to forgive, that means I'm maintaining a judgment on that person.
Yes.
Right. Now, who of all the beings in the universe is capable of doing perfect judgment? That's God.
That's God.
So I have to realize that, okay, I have to back off of that.
Right.
And I have to be willing to forgive. Now, forgiveness, another worldview of forgiveness, if you forgive somebody, you're condoning their behavior.
No.
Now, Scripture doesn't say that.
That's right.
It doesn't. I don't. Yeah, there's in forgiving, I'm letting go of something that I wanted to hang on to, which is my anger.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't need that. Why? Because, first of all, I'm the one being harmed by it.
Yeah. It's more harm.
You're the one being harmed by it.
Yeah.
So to forgive first
yes.
is for us to get some healing
yes.
from the pain of the event
yes.
that caused the anger.
Yes.
Yep.
Secondly, when we can do that, then God can use us in the way he wants to, which is an instrument
yes.
of grace.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Right. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, forgiveness does not mean that there's not atonement, that there's not some mm-hmm. sort of right. they have to make up for or fix something. It's just, I'm not going to hold it against you.
Yep. Yeah.
And, right. you know, if this is what it takes to correct what you did that needed forgiveness, yep. when that is complete, it's never talked yep. about again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a person come to me at the chapel and say, well, I'm having trouble with this person, and he doesn't understand this, and he doesn't understand that, and he doesn't. I said, well, do you understand everything? Well, yeah, I understand the whole situation. Then guess who's responsible?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. We could do a whole program on forgiveness, by the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We had to come back and really yeah. do that. But actually, time is... the sands of time, or you know, as we say, to the big hourglass of life. So we have maybe about 3 minutes before we have to say goodbye.
Let me give your phone number out again, if that's all right.
Do that, yeah.
772-579-3148. Leave a message, because I do get a lot of spam calls.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, don't we all? But, you know, we have really only have a handful of minutes, like maybe three, actually two and a half. But in the as we close, Sean, would God put a prayer on your heart that he might want to offer for our mm-hmm. listeners today?
He absolutely has. Mm-hmm. And you can find this one in Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. That's, yes. I tell you, the hour has gone by so quickly, you know.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you're welcome. Wow, thanks for coming.
It.
You know,
it seems like only 60 minutes.
Yeah. Right. Oh, thank you, Ed. Yeah, and, you know, we'll have you back because, you know, in this, as we talked about, in the cycle of the program and all the different types of folk we have here, all of whom have a tremendous message. And it's truly exciting and it's challenging. And we need to be excited and challenged.
Yes.
And so, and in your own way, Lord, the Lord has provided through you that same kind of dynamic. And I know people have heard... And some people have heard something for the first time, and they're still chewing on it, praying about it, but it's going to literally change their life. And,
yes.
Which is, I think, when I think again of the vision for this program, I have to get back to that, because the heart of what we do as Christians when we testify is we share the truth of what God's done in us.
Yes.
And we also then, we hear is that, you know, that Sean was not unique in the entire creation of humanity, neither is Dave or Ann or Ed, is it? But when Sean shares what God is doing in his life, we need to pay attention, because God may be saying to us, I want to do this in your life. Mm-hmm. I want to make something happen in your life that looks very similar, or maybe exactly what John just talked about, or what any of us talk about. That's the power of the testimony. And so when we have this program and the testimonies are offered, it's just awesome. Thank
yes.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. And as always, and Ed, thanks for being here to help me, because I can't do it on my own. And
God be honored.
God be honored.
Absolutely.
Listener, thanks for tuning in today. We'll be back next week. same time, same station.
Amen.
Tune in next Monday at 11 a.m. as we take another fascinating trip to the front line.